Thank you, Matt. Good morning, everybody. Lovely that the South Australian Volunteer of the Year could join us this morning. Congratulations to Angela and being recognised for a job well done. We know she doesn't do it for the recognition, and we just thank the Lord for the work that she does. And as a church, we sent Angela a bouquet of flowers, which I hope arrived, did they? Yes, that's good. So it's good to celebrate with her. I hope we're recording, are we, Steve? Beauty, thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that you are a rock in our lives that we can depend on, that as the world changes and swirls around us, that we can go to your word, Lord, and we can read the never-changing truths, the things that are true because they're true of you and they're true of mankind, and that the writers, through your wisdom, understood how we work and how people work. And they understood your plans and intentions. And so these are recorded for us. And we pray that you'll bless us as we open your word together this morning and read and learn. And we pray that you'll bless us, Lord, as we set out to be the men that you called us to be, but also as we encourage others to be the men you're calling them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a message I've been wanting to preach for a long time, but fearing that it would expose just too many of my inadequacies. But I eventually realised that if I wait until I feel like I am confident to preach it, I'll never ever preach it. So, in our society, you might think that being a real man has something to do with how well you play footy, how small and weak you make other males look, whether you can abuse people and things more than anyone else. Are these the marks of a man? We all know that they aren't. And we know that males who live like this are a burden to us. So what are the characteristics of a real man? Serious question, ladies. Is it Darcy? Does anybody get that? For fans of Pride and Prejudice and the writings of Jane Austen, Darcy's one of the heroes in her books. God made us male and female. What was he thinking when he did that? What was he thinking? What was he thinking? Like everything he does, it's a plan for our good. If we will fully invest ourselves in it, we'll reap the benefits. Men and women are different. We're different physically. We mostly look different. There are different hormones influencing our bodies. So as a result, we think a bit differently. Our minds tend to be drawn to different things. Men don't notice their wives' haircuts. Or other small changes, or even quite significant changes. Women don't notice. Well, wise men don't talk about things that women don't do. All I can say is, viva la difference. Many characteristics of a good man are the same for women. About being a good person, about being a faithful child of God and walking with him. But we each have our challenges, and the challenges are somewhat different. It's a matter of emphasis. It's not a complete difference. Note that what I'm going to be talking about this morning can be intimidating. I'm not trying to make us guys feel like failures, as I said about myself at the beginning. When we see the Lord calling us to something, we commit our need to him, and he promises to help us. If you see a shortcoming in yourself, get on your knees, admit it to God, and ask for his help. It's a process. It's not an event. I hope this message is a step forward in all of our journeys. As I often do with things nowadays, I ask Google what a real man is. And the answer was actually pretty good. One who does what he thinks is right, not what he feels like doing. One who does what he thinks is right, not what he feels like doing, plus more things. But I did like that. Ibn Qayyim al-Jauziyah said, "A real man is one who fears the death of his heart, not of his body." How's that for romance? Kiki Strack, "A real man ain't a coward. He stands by what he says, admits his faults, and corrects his mistakes." James Dean, never heard much wisdom from James Dean. "Being a good actor isn't easy. Being a man is even harder. I want to be both before I'm done." Albert Hubbard said, "The stronger a man is, the more gentle he can afford to be." Which I found an interesting statement. I'll have to think about that one. The first mark of a real man is to love. It's the first thing God calls us to. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbour as yourself." From Matthew 24, 22, 37 to 39. And again, "Let all that you do be done in love." 1 Corinthians 16, 14. An expression of love is to serve others sacrificially. "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." Ephesians 5:25. "Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends." John 15:13. As DC Talk say, love is a verb. It's something that you actively do. It's not merely a feeling. We're not talking about sexual attraction. We're talking about self-sacrificial giving of ourselves, as our wonderful Lord demonstrated with his life and as we've celebrated this morning in communion. A second characteristic would be to work hard, to provide for your family and be generous to other people. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever, said Paul in 1 Timothy 5:8. If you're going to be a representative of God here on earth, then you need to faithfully exercise his generosity. For example, the Good Samaritan, Job, a lot in Proverbs. So much, especially about giving to the poor. "Give and it will be given to you. In good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you." Luke 6, verse 38. And this is a characteristic that we need to look at, not in Jesus. I think we most see it that he was generous with his time, because he didn't go around, you know, handing out money to the poor. He met their needs in different ways. And in the Old Testament is where we see the greatest example of generosity to the poor in particular. Thirdly, to be courageous, strong, and self-controlled. "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." Joshua 1 verse 9. "Be watchful and stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong." 1 Corinthians 16:13. Many of us lack self-confidence, either generally or in specific things. But this is not how our Lord wants us to live. How can we gain self-confidence? I would say the first thing is to clearly understand who we are in the Lord. We are a child of the King, the one who holds the entire universe in his hand, knows us. He loves us, has only our good in mind, and is actively working in our lives. Also, some physical confidence is important. James Dobson of Focus on the Family said that having something that is our thing helps us, especially helps young people, but I think it also helps us as an adult. So to get into any sport or a hobby seriously kind of helps our identity, and especially for men, also for women, increasingly in our society now, what we do for a job is a significant part of our identity. And take the same approach with that as we take with everything, is be bold and trust the Lord in thinking about what we're going to do. I'm talking to myself at the moment, especially here. Some physical strength and the ability to handle yourself is significant. For example, I was physically insignificant at the age of 13, and I was being picked on by a friend of a friend who was quite a lot bigger. Every day after maths, he would wait outside the door and punch me on the arm really hard as his kind of a joke. At that time, I noticed that some of the guys were getting physically quite strong and they were going to the gym. So I decided to start going to the gym. And not long after, when I was punched, I had the confidence to turn to this guy, point my finger in his face and say, "Don't do that again." And he didn't. I finally gained the confidence to stand up for myself. Like it or not, we live in a physical world. And so, although our focus is spiritual, our focus is on the Lord, we have to deal with the physical. Jesus said, martial arts training is also a real help to many, both men and women, who's suffering from low self-confidence. If you are, or if you know of a fearful person or someone who lacks that self-confidence, then this could be just what they need. It's not about violence. It's about self-discipline and being able to handle yourself. Jesus said about being prepared for the world we live in to buy a sword if you don't have one, in Luke 22:36. And I think this fits with that principle that he's talking about. A real man should be able to handle himself and protect those around him, at least to the point where the bullies say, "It's not worth the trouble." Okay? Nobody is asking us to be Jason Bourne or anything that extreme. The fourth characteristic I'd like to talk about is taking responsibility. Jesus took responsibility for his whole family. He was caring for his mum and at least seven siblings after his father Joseph died until they were all of age. When he was in agony on the cross, he handed responsibility for his mum to John in John 19:26-27. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. This ties in with being courageous and strong, to being able to handle power responsibly. Because males are naturally physically stronger, this is a very important principle. And we're hearing a relatively large amount about domestic violence and so on nowadays, but I feel significantly that the people trying to do something about the domestic violence don't understand the fundamental problem. Manliness is power under control, power for good. Jesus is our ultimate example. He had infinite power, yet he put it aside for a time to come and serve us. If a powerful man is responsible, people appreciate his power, they don't fear it. To be a husband and a father. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Genesis 2:24. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Proverbs 23:24. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4. There's at least two sermons in this area alone, but for today I'll just say, a real man puts effort into being a loving husband. Ladies love romance. Yet most of us men fail miserably, especially after we're married. Passive fatherhood is an ongoing disaster in our world. Dads must take responsibility and provide overall family leadership. You know, it was an area where I didn't do well. You know, trying to do better now, but I wish I had had more teaching or read more material on that subject in particular when my children were young. A real man must be a living embodiment of respect for women. Jesus was wonderful in this area, and women were blown away by how he treated them because it was so culturally uncharacteristic in those times in particular. So, sixthly, if that's a word, to be compassionate, i.e., not critical, harsh, or angry. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honour to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. 1 Peter 3:7. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. Psalm 103:13. Picture Jesus and the way that he dealt with people. He had the perfect balance, only being harsh with those who should have known better and who were saying that they were right. To be honourable, speaking the truth in love. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. Proverbs 20:7. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honourable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Philippians 4:8. We are tempted to lie about things at times. It is important to be as honest as we can, especially when we're caught out having not done something or done something wrong. Finally, brothers, whatever is true... Oh, sorry, I've read that one. That we, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. Ephesians 4:15. In many situations, it's a matter of trusting the Lord with the outcome and admitting our failure. We think that we have to control the outcome, but there are many times, most times, maybe all times, where we need to leave the outcome in God's hands and we need to simply do what he calls us to do. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. 1 Corinthians 10:13. I have occasionally managed to put that into practice, and I've been blown away by the outcome. There's times when I admitted that I had failed, thinking, oh no, you know, what are the consequences of this going to be? And my manager literally said, oh, it doesn't matter, you know, such and such has happened, and it's all going to be dealt with a different way, or, you know, it may be better in the long run anyway, something like that. So I literally was blown away on those few occasions when I can remember making the decision not to try and fudge the facts, but I'll just say what happened. Jesus is a wonderful example of saying what needed to be said, but not making an issue of what was not helpful. That's a bit subtle. I'll say it again. Jesus is a wonderful example of saying what needed to be said, but not making an issue of what was not helpful. You know, there are things that are true that we could say, but they're just not helpful in the situation. And that's a decision we've got to make at the time, perhaps asking for the Lord's guidance as to, well, what should I say here? We need to think about what we're saying and what is profitable to share in the situation. As I began to prepare this message, it immediately became obvious that I could easily do a whole sermon series, and it's a little bit disjointed because I realised I'd written 5 pages, and that's a very, very long sermon. And so I had to hurriedly shorten it down at the end. So, you know, but we spent a lifetime learning how to do what the Lord is calling us well. And, you know, growing to be a great and responsible man of God is an important process that our whole church needs to be working on and encouraging each other in. We have a real crisis with the males in our society, with so many not growing up to be real men, especially not in the image of Christ. My dad was a great example of a wonderful, responsible man, with his own shortcomings or whatever, but Mum and Dad were never good at talking about the reason why it's important that you do this or anything like that. It was always just kind of, you know, well, you know, it's expected of you, but how do you learn what's expected of you and that sort of thing. And when I venture out into a situation that I never saw Mum and Dad in, where do I go if I've never been taught the principles? So we need to be talking about these things. I agree with James Dean. It's difficult to be in every way the man that the Lord wants me to be. But the Lord is the perfect example to follow, and he promises to work with us and empower us to grow in this wonderful calling. It's something that we all need to work together on, and may the Lord bless us with men, great men of God, as a result. Thank you. Let's pray.